Hello and welcome to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we share who our guest is today, Joe's going to remind us of our show's purpose.
Yeah, here at Searching for Service, our purpose of our show is uniting people of service through stories of service. And we have amazing people on. They talk about really cool things they're involved with, nonprofit organizations, and how you can get involved. And hopefully it inspires you to go out there and serve.
Yeah, so our guest today is Troy Fitz. He does a ton with Summertime by George, which is hosted by the St. Cloud Rotary Club. He certainly wears a few other hats, but that was really our primary focus.
He gets to book all the bands. Mm-hmm. Well, there's some good ones in there, too.
You're going to have to stay tuned because he tells us the lineup, which is going to be just announced.
I know. And he doesn't do that until the very end. So you're going to have to really, really tune in.
We got you the whole time.
Yeah. So we look forward to having you listen to this episode with Troy Fitz. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Rotary is a place for all community-minded people who want to serve their areas with the support of an international organization. Join Rotary to find service. Join Rotary to find inclusion. Join Rotary to find leadership. Join Rotary to find fun. Join Rotary to find friendship. Join Rotary to find a better version of the world. Find a Rotary club near you at rotary.org and click on Club Finder. There is a club out there for everyone. Find your fit with Rotary. Rotary.org.
For decades, eradicating polio worldwide has been Rotary's cornerstone cause. We are incredibly close to ridding the globe of this virus, but we need everyone's help to get us to the goal. World Polio Day is October 24th. Please consider making a new donation to Polio Plus or increasing your already generous giving. Go to endpolio.org to be a part of this historical eradication of polio. You will help get vaccinations to the most remote parts of our world and help fulfill a promise we made to end polio now. Two drops, and it stops. Gear up for a day of community spirit. Edina Rides for Education invites you to roll into a fun day of biking on Saturday, May 4th, starting at Fred Richards Park. Organized by the Rotary Club of Edina Morningside, they're all about service above self, and they're calling on you to join the ride. Opt for a leisurely 5 or 10 mile route and explore the scenic, car-free bike paths Edina has to offer. And here's the best part. Your participation in Edina Rides will support various educational nonprofits across the area. Registration is easy at edinarides.com. Take advantage of early bird pricing, just $25 for adults and $15 for kids. Plus, your organization can be part of the fun too. Sponsorship opportunities support Rotary's mission and local educational programs. Various levels offer lots of chances to promote your brand. So gear up and pedal for a purpose on Saturday, May 4th with Edina Rides for Education. More at edinarides.com.
Up your game and show off your Rotary Club spirit. Did you know there's a one-stop shop for all things Rotary apparel? Russell Hampton Company is the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary branded merchandise. From apparel like hats, jackets, and shirts to banners, tents, and awards, they have it all. And most things are customizable. And they can handle orders of all sizes. Russell Hampton Company also has deep connections to Rotary. In 1920, the company founder was part of Rotary Club No. 1 in downtown Chicago. Russell Hampton Company models their business on the Rotary 4-Way Test and gives back 10% of all purchases to Rotary, supporting its global work. So the next time you and your club are out on a service project, arrive with the right swag from Russell Hampton Company to promote your club and Rotary. Even non-Rotarians will want some of your cool hats, shirts, and jackets. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com.
Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we dive into who our guest is today, Chad is going to remind us of who our
show sponsor is.
I want to thank Russell Hampton for sponsoring the show, the number one printer for Rotary in the country. If you're watching online, you can see some of the stuff they've printed for us. We got a couple of tumblers, cutting board, hat, mug. You know, they can print anything. So whether you
your company here is,
yep. So whether you want some Rotary gear, they have all of that at a specific Rotary shop on their website, or your company needs some printing needs. Russell Hampton's got it. RussellHampton.com.
Maybe Summertime by George would look really good on there, too. I'm just throwing it out there.
So that's kind of a nice little segue into who our guest is today. Our guest is Troy Fitz. He is the entertainment chair for Summertime by George. It's a concert series, from my understanding, that's hosted by the St. Cloud Rotary Club. And also, he is the Associate Vice President for Institutional Advancement
at
St. John's University. Thanks. Thanks for that reminder. Yeah. I went to the title first and bypassed St. John's University notes.
Thanks for joining us today.
You bet. I sound like a pretty big deal, don't I?
You are a big deal. You're on Searching for Service. You are a big deal. We're happy to have you. So we want to take just a few minutes for our listeners to have the opportunity to get to know you. And so for those of you who don't know where St. John's University is located, where are you hailing from?
You know, we're about 12 miles west of St. Cloud, Minnesota. Okay. So, but a little hour and 20 minutes north of the Twin Cities area, small liberal arts college with our sister college, College of St. Benedict, part of the MIAC system, great place to go to work every day.
Wonderful.
Beautiful campus.
And assuming you live in the area too?
I do. I live over in Cold Spring. I was born and raised in St. Cloud, and then we moved about my wife's family's cabin and live on a lake now. So
sounds nice. Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it's a burden out there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And are you a fellow Rotarian?
I am. Yeah, I've been in Rotary since 1994. I've been a president of Rotary Clubs twice, one of the
30 years.
So-called Granite Rotary and one of the Rotary Club of St. Cloud. So, and I've held almost every position that you can in a Rotary Club, from treasurer to president, international chair, club service, and all of that. Now I'm, more heavily involved in some of the service projects we do.
Any plans for, like, say district governor or?
I've never really had those kinds of aspirations. I'll even tell you that I am much more of a local Rotarian. We do service internationally and all of that. But I'm the guy that really tries to focus on what are the needs of our community.
Sure.
And the way I look at it is, we typically talk to the police chief, the mayor, and the superintendent in our community and kind of say, what keeps you awake at night and how can we help solve some of those problems?
So
that's
good.
Kind of the way I've always approached it is, what can we do to make our community good, because it was good to me when I was growing up.
That's so good. And what a nice little angle, too. It's like, asking those top peeps in the community, go, what keeps you up at night? How can we help?
But what happens if it's like they all have teenage daughters or something like that, right? Like,
funny story here. When I was president of the Granite Rotary Club, we had these international students coming in, and we had this international student from, I think it was Norway. And she was coming in, and I was president, and I'm like, oh, man, the liability of bringing a young lady to our country and sending her to a high school. So I didn't ask for volunteers to be the host family. I had the sheriff of our county in our Rotary Club, and I made him be the host family.
You made him. You're like, this.
Yeah, it was awesome.
This is your duty. Here you go. That's really good. That's awesome. I love it.
That's really funny.
What's been your favorite service project or that you've worked on?
Yeah.
I think the one that transformed our club for a variety of reasons, and we can kind of talk about that a little bit, is when Rotary was celebrating our 100th anniversary, Rotary International, back in about 2005, they were trying to inspire clubs to do these centennial projects, these big service projects. And I had just joined the Rotary Club of St. Cloud and was asked to be a co-chair of a project to do some kind of a service element. And we have this little lake in downtown St. Cloud. It's only about 7 acres big. It's called Lake George. And our idea was that we were going to do some kind of renovation there because it was pretty dilapidated. There was crime issues going on in the park. And originally we were thinking, well, let's just do a fishing pier, a little wooden fishing pier. And so three of us went to talk to the park director. And when we asked them about, would you mind if we did a little renovation thing? How about if we did a pier or something like that? And he reached behind himself and he pulled out about a 40-page document. And we said, what is that? And he goes, well, it's a master plan that was developed to completely renovate this park. And I'll show you the pier idea that we had in mind. And we said, well, can we take that and look at it? And the largest project our club had ever done was like a $10,000 or $20,000 project. And when we looked at the project, it had been done in the year 2001. And we asked him, how much of this has been completed? He said, well, none of it. So we came back, we talked to our club, came back, and we said, how about if we adopt this entire plan and we try to do the entire plan in 5 years? So when we took that on, we did a complete renovation of this Lake George Park. It ended up being $3.5 million. Wow. And we raised a third of it, and then we got the city of St. Cloud to match it 2-for-1 to create this. And it was a 5-year project. And I told people, I said, after year two, we did it in phases. And after year two, I was driving past the lake on my way to a Rotary meeting. And when I looked down at lunchtime, there were 200 people walking around the lake on the new walking trails that we had done. And I knew we had struck a chord with our community that this was going to bring vibrancy. This was going to bring our community together.
Yeah.
And 5 years later, we completed the entire park, and we had all these, we, instead of doing a wooden fishing pier, we did sustainable things. We did maintenance free cobblestone, granite, all of that. And it just changed the trajectory of our club. And then that was probably my favorite element. And then about beginning of year five, when this park was getting completed, we had some Rotarians who stepped up and said, well, if we built this and nobody uses it, it was a waste of time. So how about we think about doing a concert series? And so they started researching things. And that was kind of the beginning of how we started thinking about Summertime by George as a music festival for our community.
That's so cool.
And that's a big story in itself.
That's really impressive, too, because I'm sure that there aren't a shortage of communities out there, like, kind of to take your example, where there's been master plans that have been completed for parks or for different, sections of the city, where what a nice, like, template that you've created and going, well, how do we create a partnership with the city, help them raise money, help us, we can raise money, help them raise money. And then we more or less usher this through as a vehicle. That's very interesting. Like, I would think that there's a lot of master plans that were done, and a lot of money spent on these things. So that's the thing. That was the thing I laughed at. I went to school for city planning. I know how much master plans cost. And I'm like, how cool that you were actually able to utilize it and make it come to fruition, right?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, you kind of talk about ushering the project through, and I would use a different term, and we actually just redid a visioning process for our club. And one of the most important words that we brought into our vision statement is that we serve as a catalyst, which means we help to make it happen and we help speed up the process. So by us getting involved, we took the expertise of our club, and we had everything from project managers to business owners to bankers to everything. We all brought our skill sets into it. And then we were able to work with the park director, Scott Zlotnick, to figure out how could we cut through red tape? How could we make this happen faster? How could we leverage things? How could we leverage local option sales tax dollars with monies we were raising? And since that time, we did that, and then we started Summertime by George, and then we've done a program called Pathways for Youth, another one, Preschool for Success, and another one, this Community Outpost or Cop House. We use that same model in every one of those. And every one of those, we, in essence, served as the catalyst to make them happen. And I'll be the first one to tell you that none of these projects were about Rotary. Mm-hmm. We just simply became a catalyst to help make them happen and bring the right partners together. And I think it's fundamentally changed a lot of elements within our community.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
As you guys went through it, what did you learn through the process that you took to the next projects that, that you guys have taken on?
Well, one, we went from, you know, doing projects of $10,000 or $20,000 to $3.5 million. So one thing we noticed is that we can do it, and we weren't afraid of things. If you looked at our membership from anywhere past about 2013 or 14, anybody who joined our club since then doesn't know us who we were when we used to think small. Yeah. Now all they see are these huge projects we do. They don't know any better, so when they come in, that's what they want to do, is these big projects. Our club was probably about 100 members when we started that Lake George project. It helped us grow our membership to about 150. When we started the Summertime by George concert series, we have a local foundation endowment. It was about $250,000. Now that foundation is about $1.8 million. And each year we give out between $100,000 and $150,000 a year to these projects that we lead within our community. And we have some criteria when we do projects. One, it has to be highly impactful in our community. Two, it has to have volunteer leadership. Three, we have to leverage other money in our community. And then four, it's got to have a boots on the ground element, which means our Rotarians get dirty in the project. And that's what we think makes it sustainable. That's mm-hmm. what we think drives our membership and our, you know, engagement with our club members. So all of these things we've kind of learned along the way, and we've found that they've become just a really important part of how we pick projects, why we pick projects, and how we succeed with those projects.
Good model.
It's a good yeah. model. Wait, do you remember the biggest roadblock that you guys hit? Because I can't imagine it was smooth sailing through the whole project. Like where it really forced you guys to have to think about it and adapt.
Well, here was the biggest one. You know, and if we did the renovation of Lake George, Summertime by George, Pathways for Youth, Cop House, and Preschool for Success, they each had their issues. Mm-hmm. But I would say the biggest one was there were three of us that were tri-chairs of renovating the park, the very first big project we did. And I remember going to Rotary meetings that first year, and our club thought we were all nuts. They didn't believe we could do anything we were talking about. They just thought it was a pie-in-the-sky thing. So when, as we were talking about it, we were trying to sell it every day within our own club, and we were asking Rotarians to make a donation. So our club membership, I think we raised $250,000 from our own membership as an investment in this. So we were trying to sell that. And I think that was probably the most difficult thing that we had to do. But once we completed the park and once we did Summertime by George, people were locked in on, wow, we can do just about anything we put our mind to. And we have high expectations of our membership. If you're going to join our club, you're not going to be in a garden club. You're going to be working and you're going to be busy, but it's going to be extremely satisfying.
Very cool. So you really had to change, not perception, but what people believed was possible.
Man, where have we heard that before?
Right.
It's funny. We've bumped into that similar situation with the podcast, just people just not knowing what they are or what the value is and how. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what I love is the transformation where people that maybe you've bumped into that didn't understand it or didn't believe in it. And then they listen to a few episodes and they learn something and they're like, holy smokes, I didn't even realize that was.
Yeah. It's like eye-opening, right? And then all of a sudden they can't unsee or unknow about what has just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we can talk a little bit more about the Summertime by George series too, if you have questions, but the thing that the other legacy that I think has been created through that project, which was kind of an unintended consequence, is that since we've done ours around our community, Sartell, Sauk Rapids, Way Park, St. Joe, Cold Spring, they've all started these little music events in little parks. And they're typically like 300 to 500 people will show up to them. And then the Excelsior Rotary Club, the Alexandria Rotary Club, the Wilmer Rotary Club, all of them have created concert events modeled after Summertime by George. Wow. And what's interesting is they're finding similar results. You know, they're raising money, they're putting it back in the community, their membership's growing. There's excitement. They're bringing the community together. And so, you know, they're replicating it, but they're fitting it to their own community. And that, I think, is one of the cooler outcomes that we're seeing.
I just want to make a quick comment, and then I have a follow-up question for you. But the quick comment is, I'll never forget when we had our Rotary outing, and it was out on Lake Minnetonka, and it was the same day that
the Excelsior
Club was having that concert series. I thought, oh my gosh, how cool and ironic is that? But and pretty fascinating too that it's kind of a R&D, a ripoff and duplicate of what you guys had implemented, right? So this leads me to my question, and that is, can you explain to our listeners what Summertime by George is?
Yeah. You know, Summertime by George is a free concert series in St. Cloud done by Lake George Eastman Park, which is just on the other side of our main drag called Division Street from our downtown area. It's, it's probably about a 14-acre park. And then there's a 7-acre lake as part of that. And what we do is when it originally started, we were trying to think of what were the elements that made concert events successful. And so we had Rotarians who went and visited a bunch. But it's free. There's food. There's beverages. There's good music. And kids' activities. So we brought those elements in there. And we have names for all of these things. And what we did when we originally started was it was every Wednesday from the middle of June to the end of August. And it was 12 weeks long. Now we're 8 weeks. We scale it back just a little bit. But so it starts at 5 o'clock at night and goes till 9 o'clock at night on a Wednesday, every Wednesday. So from 5 to 6, we have an opening band, which is typically somebody who's an emerging band that they perform for us for very little money, but they get a lot of exposure. And then from 6:30 to 9 is when our main band comes in. Okay. And it's a wide variety of genres and tribute groups and things like that. Our philosophy with the event is, number one, bring the community together. Number two, put the mission and vision of Rotary out in front of our community so they know who we are, tell our story. And number three is raise money. Mm-hmm. But in that order, we don't go out to raise money. That's a byproduct of the event that we do.
Okay.
When we first started, we were hoping to see 1,000 people a night and break even. And I remember the very first night, we had about 100 people show up and we thought, oh, this is great. And then, the second night it rained and we probably had 75 people show up and 30 of them were Rotarians. And then from there, it took off. People started believing in it. And as we were kind of hitting our stride, we average about 10,000 people a night.
Wow.
And our largest nights are about 20,000 people.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool. And, our community's really rallied around it. It's a gathering place for multi-generational families. And at 9 o'clock, we shut down and everybody goes home and goes to work the next day. So it's kind of a neat little model we have.
Yeah. So you've seen this, to your point of the rally of the community, right? And so it's an opportunity for individuals or families or couples to serve, I'm assuming. And so you noted that, when this first took off, there were a lot of Rotarians that were involved. And so the Rotarians kind of help keep it running, right? I'm assuming. But then what does the service look like from outside of that?
Well, you know, really the community just comes and participates, but we have about 40 to 50 vendors that are there each week. Mm-hmm. So whether it's foods or artisans or so on, we have a beer garden, we have a beverage tent, a rotary tent. Then we have different nonprofits that may have informational tents and booths. So it's a huge festival-ish kind of atmosphere. But what's kind of developed is, so our Rotary Club started a Rotaract group, which is, you know,
We interviewed.
Yeah.
We had one on.
It was different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what they do is they come in and they help us with our beer garden. They do the IDing and the wristbanding and all of that. They make money from our event for their club. And we sponsor that in that Rotaract group. And then about 2 years ago, we started an Interact club. Mm-hmm. And so these are the high school kids, and they come and help us set up, take down, sell popcorn, things like that. So what we've done is we've created this mentoring from us to Rotaract, from Rotaract to Interact, and all the whole scale of things. And so we've engaged a lot of youth or younger professionals into the service world, watching a bunch of us old guys and folks out there kind of working our butts off to put on an event. They're doing it side by side. We get to know them. We get to learn about their lives and what makes them tick and help guide them a little bit in life as well. And then we'll have church groups or Boy Scout groups or things like that when we know we need some extra hands to take down or set up. You know, they're there to help us out as well.
Wonderful. I got to imagine that really helps the long-term growth of your Rotary Club, having that interaction with the Interact and the Rotaract. The Interact is the high school, and Rotaract is the college students, right?
You know, that's the part we're trying to figure out, is how does a Rotaract member transition to be a Rotary member? How does an Interact transition to Rotaract, you know, because they're all going to go off to college or schools or work. And then how do you create that tie for this natural progression? That part, you know, because some of these are fairly new, we're trying to figure that out ourselves.
I think you're onto something, just having that interaction and that connection, because, you know, it'll take time. You know, it'll be 10 years when you can really evaluate and they get back into the community. But having that exposure and that connection, I think, is the biggest step you can do.
Well, maybe to talk about that a little bit, is I've always had a little heartburn on the Rotaract is like sponsored by a Rotary Club. So it has a natural division built into it, right? Like, as you're sponsored versus like your AAA team or something like that, right? Like, it's, I've thought about how there's some structural things that just could be improved.
Yeah.
Is it that, you know, you're all part of the same club, but then especially now that we have cause-based clubs, right? Like, where that really seems to be kind of percolating into. I mean, maybe this is just part of this conversation, is like, do you have any ideas?
Well, you know, I look at it as, you know, yeah, we sponsor them, but I would say we even more so partner with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they meet on a different routine and schedule. Their dues are far less than ours. They're always welcome to come to our meetings and participate. You know, as partners, they're very valuable in these service things that we do. And we're also there for kind of advice, but they also in turn want to create their own identity and their own rhythm and own leadership. So I think maybe at the beginning it was a little bit tighter of a sponsorship, and now we're kind of partners in how we're doing things. And I think that works pretty well.
Maybe it's through service then.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just through service.
That's where you're connecting with them a lot.
Yeah. We work side by side on things, or they've done service projects where we've been financial sponsors of it, but they've taken and run with it. And
so we do, you know, for Pines
and
for
they participated in a lot of the service projects that we do as well.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And you talked about that you guys raise money now from a concert series. How do you do that? And, you know, what success have you had over the years with raising funds?
You know, first of all, we're primarily sponsor driven. So, you know, the bands are sponsored. We have our beer garden's called, the Middletown Tavern. We've got Little Georgetown, which is the kids area. We've got the we've got names for all these things. Each of those is sponsored. Our opening bands are sponsored. So when we have a show any given night, or if we get rained out, we don't lose any money because we're already completely underwritten.
Yeah.
But where we make money is we charge each of the vendors, I think it's like $75 a night to have a space there. We don't make a ton of money on any one night, but because we have multiple weeks throughout the summer, it adds up. Then we make money on the beer and beverage sales and popcorn sales. We sell a tremendous amount of popcorn, and we get the popcorn free from the movie theater.
Wow.
So it's all profit. And then the other thing, too, is we have a raffle for our foundation, which is separate from Summertime by George, but we utilize the Lake George event as the place where we sell raffle tickets, and we make about $30,000, on the raffle tickets and so on. So, in the course of a summer, we've ranged anywhere from $70,000 to $150,000 in a year, what we make in profit. But keep in mind, our first goal is to bring the community together. Yep. Second is to put Rotary out in front. Third is to raise money.
Yeah.
And we accomplished that.
Yeah, but the money can't be, it's important because it keeps it going.
The sustainability is for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what it is, it's become an economic engine for us to do community projects. And the way our formula works is we take – whatever we raise in Summertime by George for a particular year, we take half of that money and we put it into a pot. Then we take the earnings from our foundation, 4.5% of a 3-year average from our endowment, and we put that into that pot. And that's what we spend for that year on projects. So we're always using half of the current money from the event and then earnings from the foundation. And it's worked out really well for us. And what it's done is it's created a sustainable, like if we stop doing any fundraising, we still have $1.8 million generating 4.5% each year that we can do projects forever. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to get lazy. We want to kind of keep moving things forward so we can do more and more for our community.
Yeah.
Well, maybe talk to us a little bit about how you guys managed through COVID then. Because it sounds like you had money, so yeah. the money component was there. But how did you guys manage through it? And then have you seen a full resurgence back since?
Yeah, for me, that was probably one of the most frustrating times for me because I'm very much, you got to just get out there and do it. And I didn't operate from a position of fear in am I going to die if I walk out my door? We shut down in 2020. We didn't do Summertime by George that year. And so the hardest thing and the thing that I had to fight the biggest battle was restarting Summertime by George in 2021. And one of my guiding factors for how hard I was pushing was my comment to our group was follow the state fair. If the state fair is going to open, we can open.
Because yeah.
There was all that pressure to do that, and you knew there was politics behind it. There was a lot of people in the health world thinking about it. And again, we were an outdoor event. People had options. You could social distance. You could do all that stuff you wanted. And so 2021 came, and we did Summertime by George, and it was a resounding success. But I think the challenges that we faced were not everybody emerged out of it with a sense of comfort. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't want to be in crowds to work. Some of our Rotarians didn't want to. There's no doubt some people stayed home because they didn't want to. There was pressure to let's make it a virtual option. And my attitude was, no, that's not what Summertime by George is. This is about bringing community together.
Yeah.
Even I think our Rotary Club, when people moved out of the habit of coming to the weekly Rotary meetings and then they had life events, they retired, they moved, they did stuff, trying to re-engage them into the old pattern of life was difficult. And I would say we're still coming out of that mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and I think just human behavior, I think we can all admit human behavior's changed a little bit. And so we kind of have to keep fighting the fight to try to bring some sense of normalcy, you know, back into what we're doing. And I think it's coming, but it's taking a little while to do that.
Yeah. I just had a meeting where this was part of the topic of conversation, was just the attitude and how it has shifted since COVID, and how people are, they're like unlearning to relearn almost how to live and how to be social.
Yeah. And with people doing remote work and engaging in technology, there are just some people who don't leave their houses very much, or they're not doing some of the stuff that they used to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to kind of, you know, continue to figure out how do you engage people at different levels to get them back into it. And then the other thing that I think we faced is, because of our popularity and helping all of these other smaller communities around us start little events, we have a little bit more competition. But I appreciate it, because I would rather it be community and neighborhood based than everybody's got to come see us. Yeah. You know, we just kind of help drive that desire for live music and community gathering and so on.
Yeah. You said, you know, obviously the second goal is getting Rotary in front of everybody. Yeah. How do you guys do that at the concerts, and what do you guys continually do?
Good question.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's a big thing, because we've had a lot of accomplishments, and we need to tell that story. Yeah. So people know that when they buy a beer, or when they buy food, or when they do things, they're really helping support these things we're doing. One of the tools we have is we bring in these giant video screens, and it used to be just the last few shows of the year where we'd have these video screens, so people in the back could see the musicians kind of more up close and personal. But now we've used it more as a messaging tool. You know, who are our sponsors? We've done some videos and slideshows of the impact we've created. So we do that through the Summertime Bay George. And then we do a lot of social media things that kind of tell little snippets of information about the impact at the Cop House, or Preschool for Success, or you know, handing out, you know, Warms Heads, Hands and Hearts stuff, or whatever. We found that we got to tell our story so that people know what we're all about.
I know that's seems difficult in the Rotary world sometimes to tell that story, because it's something you want to, you know. I think the attitude, and I think it's good attitude, is we're doing the work. We don't need to. It speaks for itself. So it's a challenge, I think, for other clubs and in general for Rotary to tell that story. Because the work does speak for itself, but it's something so needed.
Yeah. The other thing that I really get out of Summertime Bay George, which not all of our Rotarians see this, a lot of our Rotarians will come to the event and they're working, they're picking up garbage, or they're selling beer, or they're doing whatever. And one of the things that I really try to delve in each night is the human element. Mm-hmm. Who are the people that are at the event, and what are their stories? And, you know, like one story is, you know, we had this desire or question for us to bring in American Sign Language interpreters, because we had members of the deaf community coming to our concert event, which to me, I'm like, really? And so we had some people volunteer to do it for a little bit, and then we found a sponsor to pay them. But then what had happened out of that was one of the members of the deaf community wanted to become an interpreter for the concert herself, and she couldn't hear the music. So what would happen is she would be on stage and there was another interpreter in the crowd. She would watch the interpreter into the crowd interpreting to her, and then she would do it back to the bigger audience. So we started having kind of this grassroots stuff develop within the event, that, you know, When you see it happening, it's pretty tear-jerking, and it's pretty special. And just, you know, people – I had one gal, Michelle's her name. She's in a wheelchair. She's been to every single Summertime by George event there's ever been. She's been to more of them than I have, and I've run the thing. And I remember she came up the very first night this last summer, and when she came up, I said, well, hi, Michelle, how are you doing? And she gave me a really, really big hug. And then she was sobbing uncontrollably. And I said, Michelle, what's wrong? And she couldn't talk. And I said, Michelle, what's wrong? And her answer is, I miss you and I miss Summertime by George, and it's been too long since the last show. So for 9 months, she was waiting for us to start up again. That's the Aww. Human element of what this is all about. And it's to me, it's just music. That's just a tool we use to bring people together. But there's more behind what's going on.
I just love that. I love the stories.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have just a boatload more.
Yeah.
Especially the one where you crowd surf for.
one other cute story, and then I won't go on with a lot of them, but, you know, what was going on with law enforcement and kind of how that whole dynamic was going on in communities. So there was one night where there was this other lady who was in a wheelchair, and she was going across the grass, and her wheel got stuck in a kind of a little hole, and she couldn't go anywhere. And so I saw this young female police officer walk over to her and start talking to her and helped her get her wheelchair out of the hole. And then she brought her to where she was going to park. And then the police officer left. And about 10 minutes later, the police officer came back and gave her a basket of food. And I went and asked the police officer, I said, what was that all about? She said, well, she got stuck because she was going to get food, but she didn't know if she had enough money. So the police officer went to one of the vendors, bought the food with her own money, brought it back to this this lady who was in a wheelchair and had some mobility issues. And that's the interaction I see and other members of our community see about how our police are doing community work and how they're really engaging people in different levels in the human side of what they try to do outside of wearing the badge and having to deal with the bad stuff. They are just amazing folks as part of our event as well.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And stories are good. We appreciate them, that's for sure.
And they're impactful. So those, I'm sure, in seeing them and just being there to witness it is even more powerful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're getting close to the end here. So tell us what people can expect in 2024. So when does it start? When's the first Wednesday?
Yeah, the first Wednesday is June 19th, and we're going to go June 19th and then June 26th.
Okay.
We're taking the 4th of July week off, and then we'll start up on July 10th again and go through August 14th.
Very cool.
And we've got just a great lineup of opening bands and main bands, and our first band will be a band called Maiden-Dixon Line, and their earlier version that they had for years was Justin Plouffe and the Throwbacks, and they're going to do a half of their show is going to be a country show, and then the other half will be a Creedence Clearwater Revival tribute.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then the second night, June 26th, we've got Fred Savage and the Unbeatables. And Fred Savage, Bubba Hollenhorst, they're kind of a local group, or they started out locally here. They're a huge wedding band in Minnesota. So they play this real, real wide range of music, just a fun party show. I hire them a lot out here at St. John's for our reunion weekends, and they've been at Summertime by George in the past. Then we'll take a break, and then July 10th, we come back with Shane Martin's band, and they're going to do an Alabama tribute. And this is probably one of the best Alabama tributes I've ever seen. And what's neat is when I'm up at the stage and you look out and you see everybody tapping their feet, singing along, you know you've hooked them for the night. And then our county attorney, who's also a Rotarian, Janelle Kendall, has a band called The Perfect Storm. And ironically, she got rained out last year. So we're bringing them back, and they're kind of a great party band as well. And then after that, we've got a band that played at the Excelsior Music in the Commons for several years, the 70s Magic Sunshine Band. So they'll be a lot of fun, and they'll bring a lot of that 70s music in. Again, everybody knows that. They have a great time. And then following that, on July 31st, we've got Pamela McNeil and her Fleetwood Mac Rumors and Dreams show.
There you go.
Which is just spectacular. I mean, Pamela is as good as they get. And then August 7th, we've got a guy coming in from the Nashville area. His name is John King, who is a country music singer, originals and covers. Played last year, and this guy has just got a magnificent voice, just a quality human being, and so he's going to do great. And then to our finale, which
we'll have 20,000 people at this event, will be a combination of bands, Collective Unconscious and the Fabulous Armadillos. And together they'll do, half of the show is going to be a Doobie Brothers tribute, and the other half is an Eagles tribute. So if you've never had a chance to see the full Eagles tribute show, I highly recommend you see that. It's just simply incredible. So it'll be a great season.
Yeah, great
that
summer
does
coming
sound
up.
Like a nice little yeah. lineup you got for yourself. Yeah. I'm rooting for it.
We'll get up there for one of the Wednesdays.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
Where can people find more information on the concert series?
You know, if you go to summertimebygeorge.com, you'll and again, the lineup hasn't been by the time this show goes out, it will be announced, people can see the lineup. They can see who the opening bands are going to be that we paired with the main bands. You can find out which vendors are all going to be there, a little background on the bands. So, we hope people come out and join us. Again, it's free. And if I'm behind the stage and if anybody wants to come say hi and introduce yourselves, I'd love to welcome you to Summertime by George and give you a little background of the event.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you, Troy. We truly appreciate you hopping on and sharing more information about the Summertime by George series.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And then learning a little bit more about you as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you guys for what you do and hosting this so that we can tell our story. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to Troy's story. And I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Of the things we think, say, or do.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to walk on sand? Will it be a good will and better fresh air? Is it the truth? Is it fair to walk on sand? Will it be beneficial to walk on sand?
Join Rotary to serve your community and the world with honesty, fairness, and goodwill. Our four-way test guides our actions every day. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? These values underpin our commitment to making a positive impact on the world. Learn more about your local Rotary Club and stop searching and start serving. And the song you're hearing now was performed by Rotary Club of Dar es Salaam, Oyster Bay.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build good? Will it better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? When we pay it forward, it will be returned.
Join Rotary to serve your community and the world with honesty, fairness, and goodwill. Our four-way test guides our actions every day. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? These values underpin our commitment to making a positive impact on the world. Learn more about your local Rotary Club and stop searching and start serving. And the song you're hearing right now was performed by the Rotary Club of Saskatoon, Natuna in Canada.
When we pay it forward, it will be returned.
Show off your Rotary Club spirit with Russell Hampton Company. They're the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary items. They make everything like hats, jackets, shirts, banners, and more. Russell Hampton Company is a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business founded in 1920 by a member of the first-ever Rotary Club in Chicago, Club Number 1. When you call Russell Hampton Company, you get more than just a company. You get a fellow Rotarian-owned business who's there to help. No matter if you're ordering for your entire club or just yourself, no order is too big or too small. Not sure what your club needs? Their team members can help and customize just about anything. They live by the Rotary four-way test. They also give 10% of all purchases back to Rotary to support Rotary's global work. So remember, Russell Hampton Company is your one-stop shop for all things Rotary. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com. Russell Hampton Company, Rotarians serving Rotarians.
Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
That was a pretty dang good interview.
Yeah. How they got to the concept of Summertime by
right.
Troy, or Summertime by George, not Troy.
Yeah. Troy.
And,
yeah.
and how they brought
it. Might as well be.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool to learn about, that's for sure.
I mean, it's so cool. Like, I'm a dork. I'm a city planner graduate. And I understand those comprehensive plans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for them to take that on and just go, well, we'll just execute it. Like, on the city level, they got to be like, thanks. This is amazing.
Yeah. We
execute and fund it.
And, well, I think funded
partial,
half of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, like, from the city standpoint, now all of a sudden that just takes so much burden off of you in terms of implementation. And that's always the hardest part when it comes to those things is implementation. So, like, it just shows you how, as Rotary clubs, if you're looking for, say, a core project, is maybe going to the city and going, what do you guys have in your comprehensive plan that we can go alongside?
Idea. Not a bad idea.
I'm thinking
idea
about it. I'm like, hey, Edina, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, we do know of some things that are going
on. Yeah, we got
that,
Edina rides coming.
We digress.
You know what? We listen to a lot of our international nonprofits that listen to what's going on. And obviously, we live in our communities. Maybe we should be going and listening to our
what's
elected officials and the people within the city.
Yeah, because a real good piece of feedback for most Rotary clubs is that they probably roll the same 4, 5, 6 service projects every year because they've done them before. Mm-hmm. They're great organizations, but maybe that isn't the greatest need anymore.
Yeah,
and maybe that, you know, because you've been doing this project for 15 years, that there's just something that requires more attention. It doesn't mean that that group doesn't need attention, but maybe that we can be more targeted. And
when you scale upwards like they have and think how much more exposure to Rotary because it's so out-focusing, where a lot of the service projects do great work, but you're not as exposed. Yeah. You're not exposing Rotary and what can be done to a large group like they do.
Yeah, I mean, and he was such a great interview. Great, like, he's so even, and he gets to do so much fun stuff of, like, you know, booking these bands and making sure everything is working appropriately. And they really have it down to a science. And it sounds like that, you know, there's other groups that have been replicating it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed his feedback of that and not looking at them as competition,
right.
but rather as, you know, they've been so successful at what they do that others want to do it.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that because a lot of people would take that as competition.
Yeah.
I learned a lot, too, as we're working on our May 5th Edina Ride event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Edina Ride for Education, things that we can learn from, you know.
May 4th, right?
4th.
May 4th, yeah.
May the 4th be with you.
Saturday, May 4th.
My gosh.
If you want to get out and ride with us.
That was for all your Star Wars fans out there.
Well, St. Cloud is not too far away from the Twin Cities. And so at the end of this episode, Troy had dropped who those.
We're definitely going.
Yeah. So
you picked one, I thought.
Either the 13th of July or the 14th of August.
Yeah.
It's going to be ours.
So you'll have to listen to see what we're going to go.
Yep.
And then, you know, let us know if you're going to go and we'll meet up.
And we'll meet you there.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Well, we hope that you enjoyed this episode with Troy. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
It's time to stop searching
and start serving.
Thanks for listening.